read, I think we'll just read the whole context here. It's just good to read and to hear the Word of God. So if you don't get anything from what I say, at least at least you will have heard the Word of God, all right? So if you're physically able to stand, would you stand and let's honor God while I read His Word in your hearing, all right? Beginning at verse number 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you so much. You've loved us when we were so unlovely and so unholy, and when we were so far from you. That electing love sought us, and you found us in some of the most disgraceful places, Lord. And you, Lord, you drew us out. The love of Christ drew us out, Lord. And we thank you today, Lord, that we are here today as children of God, and we are surprised with John to see how great the love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. And so we thank you, Lord, that this is not wishful thinking. We thank you that this is not some mystery novel, but this is real. This is not some movie by Spielberg or some other infamous producer and writer, but this is real living for us. We are children of God, and it has not yet appeared, but we will be. But we know this, when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. We shall see him as he is. So meet us here now, Lord, in the scriptures. We look forward to seeing you one day, Jesus, Lord Jesus. But we just need your help right now to work through these verses. And I'd ask you to help this old lump of clay to do what you've assigned my hands to do one more day. And enliven the hearts and the ears of those who are listening now, that we might hear and know your will, and then grant us the grace to obey you in Jesus' name. Everyone that believes said,
amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, we're continuing on with this subject matter of living in denial. Living in denial. And back in the 50s, J. Edgar Hoover wrote a book called Masters of Deceit, you see, revealing the secrets of communism. And then in the 60s, there was a rock group in Indianapolis called Masters of Deceit. And then in the 80s, there was this this New York-based group of hackers, you know, computer hackers, that loved to hack into the telephone company, and they called themselves Masters of Deceit. And you just follow down through the years, all the way up to present time, you got computer games that are based on being the Masters of Deceit. There are individuals who pride themselves in being Masters of Deceit. And you need to think that through. People find pride in being a master of deceit. Timothy said in the last days, this is the kind of thing that we're going to see everywhere. People are deceived and being deceived. Deceit. And so that's my concern. People are living in denial, and it's crept into the church. Well, we can look at wrong and just turn away from it as if it's not happening. And those that speak up, people look at us as if we're weird. You see? Then because there's so many churches around us, they just go somewhere where it's overlooked. You see? Where somebody will live in denial for what is good and right. And so that's my burden, you see. You remember last week we saw that even deceived people are exposed to truth about God from Romans 1, right? The nature, God says nature itself reveals the truth about him. But it also says that these same people will exchange the truth for a lie about God. The same ones that are exposed to truth exchange the truth for a lie about God. And then it says, so that they can worship whatever they want to worship. And I'm telling you, sadly, that's the same kind of worship has crept into the church. Yes. Church worship has become whatever people want it to be. Whatever people want it to be. Not what God wants it to be. Deceived and being deceived. And then the Romans would go on to say it, and they know they're deceived, and then they continue to do it and bring proselytes along with them, bring others along with them. But God said, I got a remnant. That's still my world, still my earth. And so I'm going to leave a remnant there as what? Salt and light, who are vessels in whom I'm going to entrust the truth. And yes, you're gonna be reviled and persecuted and slandered and all manner of things said about you. You're going to have difficult lives simply because you're telling the truth and you're trying to live the truth. But we're not the first ones. You see, you read the Bible, and it's happened generation after generation. Every remnant that God left behind, they were ostracized and so much trouble in their lives simply because they what? Stood for the truth. So I want to say to you here, my brothers and my sisters, you see, you look around, you see all these empty seats. Why? It's because when you stand for truth, you don't have many people. Now, God would say to all of us not to think that there's any one church who is standing alone. You know, we're not like Elijah thinking that we're the only ones. But we do want to recognize that we are here as light, salt, and truth for those who are deceived. And so we're going to continue on to discuss this a little bit more today, all right? And I want to break up our thinking into these two specific areas of thought. We're going to look at what I call deception with empty words in verses 3 through 6, and then rejection with a fruitful life in verses 7 through 13. All right? Y'all ready to go? Let's do it. So, as we think about this deception with empty words, God is always concerned about the lifestyle. You see? It's the lifestyle. Lifestyle. You see, everybody sins. And nobody in here, you shouldn't be pious enough to think that you don't sin. First John would call you a liar. If anyone says that you sin, you're calling God a liar.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's not the fact that you're perfect and you don't sin, but he's talking about a lifestyle here. You see? And so Paul has told believers to imitate God, to walk in love, and to live a sacrificial lifestyle in verses 1 through 3 of this text that we're looking at. You see? Imitate God. God said what? Be holy, what? As I am holy. And so that's the standard is here. We're not there. We won't get there in this life, but what? Now Paul said, I forget those things that lie behind, and what? Strain forward, cause and what? Press on for the upward goal. Yeah. And so this is a lifestyle that we have to address. But then you'll notice that he addresses the lifestyle and behavior that is not appropriate for a follower of Christ. You see verse 3 there, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking. Right? You see that? Now, that's not ambiguous. I mean, that's clear. Right? There are certain things that just simply aren't appropriate. Y'all remember back in the 80s, y'all remember this old TV program called Lifestyle of the Rich and the Famous? Anybody ever watch that? Well, this is the lifestyle of the worldly and the wicked here we're looking at. Okay? The lifestyle of the worldly and the wicked, and God says to us, that's not for you. That's not for you. You see, now here's the thing that I want to make sure I'm communicating. These sins can be overt, outward, or what? Covert, right? They can be outwardly done, or they can be secretly, what? In the heart. Yes? You remember that? That's the reason. You remember after David committed adultery, and we see his repentance and confession there in Psalm 51. He asked God to what? Create in me a what? A clean heart, because it's inside.
Yes.
This adultery got inside of me.
Yeah.
It was inside of me. You see, before I committed it. And all of us need to be keenly aware of that in this day. And don't get too beside yourself just because you look and you think that I didn't go that way. But you see, Jesus said what? That out of the heart comes things like evil thoughts and murder and adulteries and that. And he even went on to say that if you've done it, what? In your heart. If it's in your heart, you've already committed it, because all that you're looking for is what? An occasion.
Yeah.
We together?
Yes, sir.
And so this is important to recognize that this lifestyle is a lifestyle in our world that's popularized. It's minimized. People in our day and time minimize sin. And then they popularize it, aggrandize it, make it seem like it's so wonderful that people that live this kind of way are having such a wonderful, wonderful life, and they don't show you into the misery that happens on behind the scene. You see, same way that Satan did with Eve. You see, he went and he tempted her, and he said that
If you do this, then you will eat of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, then you really won't need God. But he didn't tell her what was going to happen after that.
Yeah.
That's the way sin is, you see. And so that's the way sin is today. But God's perspective on sin has not changed, right?
That's right.
Jesus said, I'm the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. All right. And so I'm not telling you anything new. Part of my job is to remind you. Remind you of things you already know. And so today, this is just, I'm just wanting to encourage you. Those of you who've been standing, stand on. Don't cave in. I know how it gets hard on your job. It gets hard in your neighborhood. It gets hard in the gym. It gets hard, you know, for those on Zoom, if we got the young people with us there too, it gets hard in school and just all of these venues. You see where you're trying to stand for truth, but the Bible doesn't say that you can quit and go on vacation. It says when you've done all you can to do to stand, you just what? You got to keep standing. Soldiers continue to stand. Soldiers continue to fight. So we good? We can move on? All right, y'all good. And so the next thing I see, other than lifestyle here, as we look at these deception within the empty words, is that these empty words lead to a destiny. You see? A destiny. Yeah. I remember that old song, everybody talking about heaven what? Ain't gone. Everybody talking about heaven ain't gone. Everybody singing about heaven ain't gone. Everybody praying about heaven ain't gone. Everybody shouting, everybody preaching about heaven ain't gone. Everybody teaching ain't gone. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, didn't he? Yeah. You say, Lord, Lord. You say, Lord, Lord. But I never what? I never knew you. So this is serious. I know you think I'm getting overly emotional about this, but it's so serious. Nobody in this room should want to see anyone. The destiny apart from God. So, here's the thing. God has a place prepared for his people after this life.
Yes, he does.
Right? Look at verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You see, there's a place. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believes also in me. In my Father's house, there's what? Many rooms. I go away to prepare what?
A place.
A place. So there's a place prepared for God's people.
Yes.
A place. It's real.
Amen.
This whole thing, this whole world that people are in such enthralled with and such in love with, it's passing away.
Yes.
But there's a place for those of us who love Christ. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Yeah. You see, but the thing is, people with a sinful lifestyle at death are not going there. People with a sinful lifestyle, when they die, are not going to this wonderful place that God has prepared for those that love him. Now, here's the deal. Many have been deceived about the wrath of God in hell. You got ministries that won't even talk about it today. And they tell you, they'll say it right up publicly that they won't talk about it. They want people to come there and be encouraged only. They don't want to talk about sin and the wrath of God in hell. But you see how disingenuous that is? How
unloving that is. Did you see verse 6? Let no one deceive you. That's it. That's it. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. It's going to happen. In Mark 9, you remember when Jesus was talking about the reality of hell. He said, if your eye offends you, what? Pluck it out. It's better to go on into life with one eye than to go into hell with both eyes. Yeah. If your hand deceives you, what? Cut it off, because it's better to go into hell crippled than to be thrown into hell with both your hands. Or if your feet are causing you to sin, cut it off. Better to go through life without that. Then he says to be thrown into hell. Thrown into hell. That ought to break your heart to think about someone that you know would go to hell. You remember the story that Jesus told in Luke 16 about this poor man Lazarus? You remember that story? He's poor and full of sores. He said he sat outside this rich man's gate and he begged. But this rich man passed by him all the time. But then something interesting happened, which is going to happen to everybody. They both died. You know the story in Luke 16? Lazarus went away, calls it Abraham's bosom, the picture of being with God there. But said that the rich man opened up his eyes in Hades, in pain and agony. And he was pleading that he could just get a drop of water. A drop of water, he said, because this flame is so hot, so miserable here, and there's no hope of change. No one here should ever wish upon someone. You know, we used to hear it all the time when we were in the world. People would say, tell people to go there. That shouldn't even be in your vocabulary. The Bible says it's some things, that's the reason I'm not going to say it. Some things that shouldn't even be said. But we used to. Didn't think anything about it. Yeah? And so this rich man is there pleading for a drop of water, and then he says, please warn my brothers that are still living so that they won't come here. Remember that? Right. Hell is not people sing and talk about hell as if they're going to go there and party and have this great time. You see, and comedians are, yeah, that's what I'm saying, comedians are desensitizing folks, and they're making movies about it, and got all of this sensationalism about hell, and people don't realize the gravity because they're being deceived. They're being deceived. And it's our role to what? Represent truth. Amen. Doesn't make you popular with them, right. But it sure makes you right. A faithful child with God. Because after all, what does any one of us want to hear from God? Good, right? Well done, what? Good and faithful servant. I cannot imagine how wonderful those words would be. Can you? I mean, don't you think of that? How wonderful it's going to be to hear God say, well done, when you know all of your weaknesses and failures and where you came up short. But if God says well done, that's enough. Isn't that enough for you? That's enough for me. And so keep on standing. the Hawkins had a song a little while back called I'm Going Away. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
I'm going away.
But the question is, where are you going? Going where? Everybody's going somewhere. But you see, the issue is where? I'm going away.
All right. So that's one of the issues that I wanted to address when it comes to deception. The next thing is to look at this, what I call rejection with fruitful, with a fruitful life. Rejection with a fruitful life. So when we think about this, when you look at verses 7 and 8, I'm calling this the rejection. So believers are reminded that this was once our old lifestyle. And everyone here that's not disingenuous recognizes that. We haven't always been saints. We weren't saved. We weren't born saved. I've heard people say that. And all that you can do is shake your head. Try to reason with them. God says that you're calling him a liar. We all recognize that our past, but again, but Tony and I were talking about that a while ago. We all got past.
Yes,
right.
Yes, we do.
And it's not something we want to brag about.
No,
yeah? Not something we want to brag about. So you should look at verse 7 and 8. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hallelujah. You see, that's the deal. We recognize that was our old lifestyle. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 talks about all of these things, adultery, all those sexual sins and thieves and murderers. And you remember that whole list in 1 Corinthians 6? And it says what? And such were some, what, of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. That's how we got in. That's how we got in, and such were some of you. And Paul could go on to say, everyone, every man, every person in Christ is a what? New creation. All things have what? Passed away. Behold, new things have come.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
And I'm certainly glad that I don't live the way I used to live. Aren't you?
Amen.
Glad I don't talk the way I used to. Thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
The way I talked and the way I cussed and, you know, the way I lived. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Until God saved you. You see? And then you realize, just like they say here, my mouth shouldn't be used for that. And I'm telling you the truth. It's just hard to fathom that now I stand before you. This old filthy mouth has been washed, sanctified, and justified, and cleaned in the blood of Christ. This old mouth that used to be used for things that are just not worthy to be spoken in the house of God. And now... Isn't it amazing what God can do?
Yes.
So, believers are reminded that this was once our lifestyle. You see, here's the point. You must never forget, but you must reject the lifestyle. Don't forget it, but you must reject it. That's the reason he said, therefore, do not become partakers with them. You get it? And so believers are now, this is so wonderful. We are now light in the Lord and children of light.
Yes.
Now this is where we're going today. Light in the Lord and children of light. Jesus called himself the light of the world, and he called believers the light of the world. In John 8, I believe it is, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he'd go on in Matthew 5, and then he said, you are the light of the world. No city set on a hill can be hidden.
He said, no one lights a candle and what? Hides it under a bushel, but you put it on a stand. So it can bring light to the whole house. And so then he says, let your light. Let your light shine before people, before men in such a way that they can what? See your good works and glorify your Father. That's where we're going today. Why? Because we're not among the deceived. We're not among the deceived. We're what? We are light in the Lord, and we are children of light. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now the Bible, this is look at me now. The Bible didn't just say we were once in darkness. What did it just say? You were once darkness. Isn't that something to think about? You were once darkness. Now, the Bible, you know, does portray us. We were darkness and we were in darkness, but it's an amazing thing to think that I was where I was exactly where I was in my environment. I was darkness and I was in an environment of what? Darkness. This is really important. That's the reason I could say and do all the things I did. I was darkness, I was around people in darkness, and that's all that we did. We did what seemed right, what? To a man. That's what deceived people do. What seems right. But thank be to God, someone prayed for us. Someone witnessed to us. Yeah? Someone didn't give up on us. So, I just want you to see that this is a great responsibility that we have. Let your light shine. Can you think about that for a minute? Jesus says to you and me, Willie, let your light shine in this dark and twisted and perverted world. He says to you, let your light shine. Isn't that something? This is a great responsibility.
Amen.
It's a great responsibility when the master says, let your light shine. What? Because you are light in the world. You are a child of light. So what? Let your light shine. Don't try to hide it. Everybody's trying to hide it. Everybody's trying to dim your light. You see, that's what I'm saying. They're trying to desensitize and make you believe that that's your truth and this is my truth and we can coexist and we can speak of the same Jesus and speak of the same Lord. But no. When you're light, you can't be partakers with those that don't walk in light. Okay, let it shine. Shine for him. And then the last thing mentioned there is the word fruitfulness. So you see that this light produces fruit. Look at verse 9 and 10. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that good? So the fruit of our lives is things that are good and right and
true things that are pleasing to the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and kind. Y'all know that. All of these wonderful blessings that come from bearing fruit for the Lord. And so that comes from what? The light, this life of light. We once had a life of darkness, and now we have a life of light. Praise God. Oh my. Now, here's another great part of the responsibility. You see, the light, the life of light exposes sin. Right? When you walked in this room, the light was on, and if it was something you didn't want somebody to see, then you shouldn't have come into the light. Yeah? When you get up at night and have to, you know, go to the bathroom or whatever it is you have to do, if you don't want to see yourself, you don't turn what? You don't turn the light on. But if you turn the light on, what you're going to see is what you get. What you see is what is. Why? Because light exposes what is true. Yeah? It may not be pleasant, but it's what? It's what's true. So you see verse 11? Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Right? You see that? So what does that mean, Brother Willie? It means speak the truth in love.
Amen. Right.
Don't be arrogant. It's because you've been brought out. You've been delivered, you know. You used to be a drunkard and now you're sober. Well, don't go pretend that you weren't.
That's right.
Yeah?
That's right.
You used to be, you know, whatever the case may be. Don't pretend that you were not. Be humble and what? Speak the truth in love. You see, the godly words and lifestyles of believers should reveal the sin of deceivers and the sin of those who are deceived. Look at verse 12, 13, and 14, and we'll finish this section. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anyone is exposed to light, there it is, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. That's it. See, your godly words, your godly lifestyle brings the deceived into truth.
Amen.
It's not only what you say, it's how you live. You do more harm to someone to think that you can tell them the truth and go and do something different. You know what Jesus told the Pharisees? You are laying out these hard restrictions on people, and you yourself won't even, he called it lift a finger. He called them what? Hypocrites. I've told y'all before, from the etymology of that word hypocrite in the Greek, means what? Two-faced. You ever seen them old Asian plays where they had them two faces on those fans? That's what hypocrite means. You put on one face when you're doing one thing, and then you put on another face when you're that's a hypocrite. And God says to us, that's not you. Be real. Wherever people see you, you ought to be the same.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
They invite you to the company, whatever the thing is, you're the same as you were when you're sitting here today. Yeah?
Amen.
That's light. You see, that's letting your light shine. Now, if you say, I can't handle the pressure, then don't go. You all right? As the Bible says, flee. In that particular case, it's talking about sexual sin, but it's any of it. I'm a musician. I come out of that world. I come out of that world of smoking and drinking and all the stuff that happens in the clubs. So I don't go in there thinking that I'm Superman.
All right.
I flee it.
Amen.
You understand? And so you have to think about your own lifestyle. You want to expose people that are deceived, but don't get in an environment where you're going to be torn down yourself. And you lose your testimony. Yeah? We together?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
We shine. We shine because we can. Right? We shine because we should. We shine because God has been good to us. We shine because we have a light. We shine because we are light. We shine because of our master. We shine because of our mission. We shine because it's day and we know night is coming. Night is coming when no man can work. It's going to be sad. When the day of grace is over, so my brother and my sister shine on. Well, you've been very patient, and thank you for being really attentive as we work through these issues today. So here's the thing as we close. No one here has to be deceived with empty words. That's what I've spent this time working through. No one here should be deceived with empty words of promise from people that these words that will not come to pass, these empty words that they cannot fulfill. Empty words are like having a car with no gas. Or if you like electric vehicles, having a vehicle with no electricity, or whatever the case may be. Empty words are like having a bank account and what? And no money. Yeah, empty words are preparing to travel, preparing to go on vacation and nowhere to go. Empty words are like having a house with no furniture and no utilities running to it. Empty words are like having an education and no job. Empty words are like a promise of good life, but nothing changes. Empty words are like a promise of peace, but there's no peace. A promise of joy, but there's no joy. Empty words are like a promise of love, but there's no love. Promise of forgiveness, but there's no forgiveness. A promise of light and liberty in heaven, but there is none because it's empty. They can't deliver. You see? The way they're presenting this to you, you could never have peace and joy and love, and you're certainly not going to heaven with these empty words by these deceived people. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere. People are becoming so ecumenical. Carlton Pearson, now, those of you all who know him, he says that everybody's going to heaven now. He said he used to not believe that, but he's convinced now that everybody ever born is going to heaven. And then you think of that. Why can't he see that the Bible doesn't teach that? Because he's deceived. So Ecclesiastes says that you're following after these empty words is like chasing after the wind. Isn't that a graphic picture? Chasing after the wind. I can't imagine what that would be like. The wind comes through and you start chasing after it, or when you get there, it's gone. Yeah. Wind comes through and you try to grab it, and you open up your hand and what? It's gone. That's the whole idea. These empty words, it's just... they're empty. There's nothing to it. They sound wonderful when you're listening to them, but there's nothing inside. And so empty words keep people deceived and in darkness. But the word of God and truth brings people out of sin, brings people out of deception, brings people out of darkness. Hallelujah. The word of God and truth
brings people into the marvelous light of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That how you got in? The word of God and truth is never empty because it's active. Yes? Sharper than a what? A two-edged sword, and it cuts deep. You see, down into the area where you're convicted. Yeah. Cuts deep down into the area where you're in your heart, where you make resolve and commitments. And so that's the difference between the word of God and empty words. Empty words will never reach your heart in this way to convict you and make a change. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And you see, the word of God will never fail because God, what? Cannot lie. The word of God is an anchor. And it's an anchor, and it's an anchor for our soul that keeps us in all the storms of life, all the tests of life, all the troubles of life. It's an anchor that keeps us in the fiery trials. The word of God is like a lighthouse. And it just shines. Shines for sinners to find their way to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The word of God, you can't put it out. Can't snuff it out like a lighthouse shining, not just back in the first century, shining down through the years. It's still shining. Amen. And it's still shining, shining bright. The word of God is still shining. Christ saying, come to me, all who are what? Weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The word of God shines when there's no peace. The word of God shines when there is war. The word of God shines when you got scandals in the government. The word of God shines when there's injustice. The word of God shines when you got COVID-19. The word of God shines when you got births. The word of God shines when you got deaths. The word of God shines when you got unemployment. The word of God shines when you got sexual immorality and greed. The word of God shines when you got class reunions. The word of God shines when you got family reunions. The word of God shines when you got marriage. The word of God shines when you got divorced. The word of God shines when you're on the mountain. The word of God shines when you got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The word of God is still shining. The word of God shines when you're young. The word of God shines when you're old. The word of God shines when you're educated. The word of God shines when you're uneducated. The word of God shines when you got money in the bank. The word of God shines when you're broke. The word of God keeps shining. The word of God shines when they throw you in jail. The word of God shines when they threaten us. The word of God shines when they take away our rights. The word of God just shines. It just keeps shining and shining. You can't put it out. You can't put it out. And so God says to us, I want you to shine. Because my word is in you.
Yes?
Regardless of what's going on in this world, just keep shining. What's the song? Walk in the light, beautiful light. What, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. What, shine all around us. What, day in by night, huh?
Jesus
what?
Light.
The light of
Hallelujah.
The world. Okay, I'm worn out now. The old guy is worn out now. But I would say that if there's someone here or on Zoom listening to us and you don't know Christ, you don't have a real relationship with him. Maybe you've been deceived in some way and thinking that certain things that you do to make you right with Christ. I just want to invite you today to listen to the truth. Jesus said that I am the way, right? The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way. And so if you just believe on him today, He'll bring you out of that deceptive, that deceived life and bring you into this life of light and truth and love and liberty. And it's a life that is so wonderful.
But you got to believe on him.
So
only believe. Father, we thank you so much.